Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse in for James Hamm. James Hamm on assignment. He will be back on Monday. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. Salute to Jiffy Lube. Caller, I see you on the line, the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 if you would like to join the program. Thank you, everybody listening on the radio, on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Salute.
Shout out.
You said you want to talk about life. What do you want to say?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Just whatever, bro.
I asked you that.
I don't know. It's
Friday.
Yeah,
a whole hour to fill.
Happy. I'm excited. It's football again.
Vibes are up.
Football's back.
Before I dive in.
They're throwing in like just old cool Dolphins moments in the chat. Like Wizzo Max says Ronnie Brown in that Wildcat game against the Pats. I remember that game.
That was great, man.
Never forget it.
I love this.
Steven Castaneda. Ricky Williams is underrated as a Dolphin. My favorite player
as a running back, too.
Yeah. Would have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't retire. The first time.
All right.
Shout out Ricky Williams if you're listening. Come join the show.
Before I get into this Niners running back thing, let's take Don's call. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
What up, guys? Hey, I just had a question real quick. I know I heard Jesse say he was a fan of just kind of throwing the rookie quarterback out there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of lean the other way, but I think you got to choose one way or the other and stick with it. But the whole Bryce Young thing, I just heard the guys, they were interviewing him by the locker, and he took accountability and sounded really professional and stuff. But do you guys remember a time ever when a young quarterback's been yanked and benched and then comes back the following year and just lights it up? Or is it kind of like one of those things where when this happens, it's really, really tough to come back from?
Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate you. I'm sure there are examples.
I don't think Baker Mayfield fits because Baker was good and his shoulder just kind of blew up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I chalked that one up more to injuries, and they didn't even like just really bench him. It just didn't work out in the end. Josh Rosen got benched really fast, and that he just stunk.
This doesn't exactly fit with what the caller was talking about, but Alex Smith was really not good for his first 5 years. He also had a year where he was hurt in there and missed the entire season. But remember in 2010 when Mike Singletary was a head coach, it was like an Alex Smith, Troy Smith rotation, and they couldn't land on which quarterback they wanted. And then in 2011, during that offseason, it was the lockout, so the Niners re-signed Alex Smith, and he came in with Jim Harbaugh and lit it up.
Yeah.
That's the closest that comes to the top of my head.
As far as being benched this fast, though, like I don't think anyone's come back from that. Trey Lance was. What happened to Trey Lance? Trey Lance got hurt, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't get benched. Yeah, man. The reason I think that's so hard to come back from is because you're benching a young quarterback who probably just needs time to play and develop. But he's probably being benched on a bad team.
Oh.
And you're then bringing him back in. And I don't think teams, this is what we were talking about earlier. I just don't think teams prioritize the right things.
That's fair.
I don't think teams, like Brock Purdy got put into a perfect spot where that was a ready-made team. He got to be a quarterback. If you take Brock Purdy and drop him onto, if you take seventh-round pick Brock Purdy and drop him onto this year's Panthers as a rookie, he got no shot.
Yeah.
And that's not a Brock Purdy issue. It's a team sport. You need, at some point, there needs to be some semblance of talent. I think if you're a team that is taking a quarterback high in the draft, I mean, you weren't very good. And I think if you're starting that quarterback right away, I think there's some level of desperation. And I think that if you are then benching that quarterback, I don't think you're probably a good enough organization to do the things you need to do to allow that quarterback to succeed in the following year.
That's a fair point. My thing with Bryce Young, too, is that I think there's a lot of, like, it's the Panthers' fault, but also, like, have you ever watched a Bryce Young playing, but like, yeah, he's got something there.
No, Bryce Young has no juice.
Yeah. Caleb Williams, like people say, oh, you like Caleb Williams is going through it and all that. But like Caleb Williams, you watch, like, okay, there's something there. You can see it. You can see it, like, okay, if he developed, like, you see it. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never watched Bryce Young once and been like, all right, it's just kind of like he's fighting for his life, but also he just doesn't, there's nothing.
I say people who do draft stuff too many people way overlooked his physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his arm talent was not good. He's not big.
Yeah, he's not even as big as Tua.
He is a small. Like, that's a problem at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There are quarterbacks who can overcome it, and he's smaller than Drew Brees, man. Like, that's an issue at some point. Like, you got to see over the line.
Yeah.
You got to see what's happening. You got to take hits. You got to be confident standing in the pocket. Like, there are just so many things I think that his physical limitations don't allow him to do that I think are just too big of a problem. That's kind of where I landed Bryce Young.
Yeah, I think.
But you're right. There's never what's the signature Bryce Young game? Where you went, oh, that guy, there it is.
He's only got two wins, I think.
Yeah, he's just not. He's not it. Mm-hmm. He's not it. I don't think he's getting benched with the idea that he'll come back next year and be good.
Like, if Bryce Young was going to work out, it just wasn't. Now we know it was never going to be with the Panthers, and we don't even know if he was ever going to be good. But it was never going to work here.
Yeah, like when Zach Wilson got benched by the Jets, you went, oh, okay, that relationship's over now.
Uh-huh.
The Bears, for example. The Bears are in a spot. I think the Bears are doing a lot of the right things as an organization. And I talked about yesterday how I would be in favor of them saying, all right, you know what, Caleb? This team's not ready yet. You're going to sit on the bench. You're going to hang out as the backup. Let Tyson Bagent take some hits. You can get some really good mental reps. You can immerse yourself in the offense. We'll prioritize the offensive line next season. And you can step in with a better offensive line and better comfort of the offense so you can better run the offense next year. I would be in favor of that. Whether it would work, don't know.
I think
the reason it doesn't, just to get back to the caller's point, I think the reason it doesn't work is because usually teams that are doing that are scrambling and being desperate and are not going to do the things they need to do to put that quarterback in a situation to succeed.
Yeah. I feel like if you were to throw just a competent offensive line in front of a rookie quarterback, that'll just probably do about 80% of the work for him already. Just allow him to sit back, like process the defense and all that, and just kind of actually develop. You can't develop, I mean, I'm sure you can or whatever, but as well as you would be able to with the way Caleb Williams is.
No.
Like, I don't think there was a time, I'd have to look back at the stats, but I can't remember off the top of my head, like CJ Stroud running for his life all season last year.
No. I don't think he was.
Yeah, and it's not like they had these incredible, like Nico Collins and Tank Dell turned into these receivers and all that, but like going into it was like, oh yeah, they got him all the weapons and he's just ready to go. It's kind of like, no, you let him play quarterback and develop, and it's the other guys developed as well.
Yeah.
That's the Texans did it right, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you're trying to find the next CJ Stroud, you got to build the talent around him for sure. Yeah. People are bringing up Kyler Murray as like short quarterbacks, and he and Bryce Young are listed at about the same size.
Uh-huh.
Bryce Young does not, have nearly the arm talent that Kyler Murray has.
He's just not as athletic either.
And he's not nearly as athletic. Those are the two ways you can overcome that, is just by having the pure arm strength and the movement skills, and Bryce Young has none of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. All right, the 49ers need a new running back.
Already out on Jordan Mason, huh?
No. Jordan Mason is on pace for 408 carries this year. That would be the third most in NFL history. Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle had that little nugget.
Do we know who the top two are?
No. I mean, we could find it, but I don't have it in front of you right now. They have to do something, whether it's Isaac Arendo, Patrick Taylor, who are the other two running backs on their roster, Keyshawn Vaughn is their practice squad running back. They have to find somebody, anybody, to take some of this workload off of Jordan Mason. Because as George Kittle goes out and Deebo Samuel goes out and as Christian McCaffrey is out, they're not going to run it less. You're going to see Jordan Mason and the Niners go 20, 25, 30 carries a game. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. That's Kyle Shanahan and what he wants to do. But there has to be somebody taking some of that workload off Jordan Mason, because this averaging 24 carries a game, 28 in week one, 20 in week two, averaging that for however long he's going to play is just not sustainable. You can't do that.
You don't think he can do it for the next 5 weeks and then CMC's back?
No, I don't. Could he? Yeah. Yes, he could.
Because honestly, I think that's probably what the plan's
going
to be.
I would imagine they're going, okay, hey, we're going to give this guy a season's worth of carries in 7 weeks. Because we're only going to need him for a handful after that. But if that's the case, there's no way you can be that confident that Christian McCaffrey, who's dealing with Achilles tendonitis, and has since week 17 of last year, he had a full offseason to get this thing better, and it's not. And it has actually apparently gotten worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like it's gone the other way at this point.
Right. So if they're banking on, oh yeah, he's going to come back in 5 weeks, and then we're just, Jordan Mason's going to be, that's insane. That anything to me, in my estimation, this is just totally my non-professional, non-expert opinion. Anything they get from Christian McCaffrey is gravy this year.
So then what do you do if you're the 49ers at this point? You just go with the backups, get them some run, or?
You have to. You have to do something. And if you don't trust Isaac Garendo, or you don't trust Patrick Taylor, what are they on the roster for? What if you're not okay playing them in football games, games that count?
I wonder how
what
much
are they
this,
doing?
Well, I wonder how much of the CMC stuff cut them off guard. Maybe they just weren't planning for this situation or whatnot.
If you're,
that's kind of not.
I guess, but you have known now since the second week of camp that you're All-pro offensive player of the year running back that you're going to lean on a ton has Achilles tendonitis. You didn't think to add somebody that you feel better about?
Like I said, maybe he just feels they can get by with Mason till CMC's back, till Christian McCaffrey's back.
That's
I think that's the plan too. I think that's just like I see where you're coming from, but I don't think Shanahan's as stressed about it. I guess
I don't think you're wrong, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the issue.
Yeah, I just don't think maybe Shanahan sees it as a problem.
Right, that's my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my Kyle Madsen's problem with how Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are approaching this. It's got to be against the Rams. It's got to be Isaac Garendo or Pat. You've got to do something. Make it 5 carries. Make it 8. Whatever it's got
to
be.
Well, you're gonna have to because I feel like Debo's been kind of getting some carries too and all that, right?
He got 8 in week 1 and then two. Okay. I think they were caught off guard by McCaffrey being out week 1.
You might just at this point you have no choice. You're gonna have to get someone else involved.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I
guess. Even if you think, oh, we just need to get him through 7 weeks. Okay, that's fine. Well, going 24 carries a game, I don't think he's gonna get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's diminishing returns at some point. So I think Jordan Mason has to stay involved, obviously. He's their best running back.
Yeah.
I think they gotta get him involved in the passing game a little bit. I think I'm expecting that this week. I'm expecting Jordan Mason to get whether it's a designed screen or he's splitting out and running a couple of routes, I expect Jordan Mason to get a couple of targets this week just because they have to include that element in their offense. If your running back is not a threat as a pass catcher, it makes you so much easier to defend.
Yep.
So I think they're going to force Jordan Mason to get involved in that way. But they have to give carries to somebody else. They have to get... I don't care if Isaac Garendo is averaging 2 yards a carry. You've got to do something to take the workload off Jordan Mason because if he goes out, now you're really screwed. Now you're at a point where I'm not even going, yeah, hey, Brock Purdy's got to do this because now you're down to a fourth round rookie and a career special teams slash sometimes third down back. Then you have a massive problem.
Yeah.
So it's like short term loss over those couple 5 to 8 carries. You might have to game plan around. Maybe you're not going to get exactly what you want out of those attempts, but you'll take that over potentially needing to replace Jordan Mason in 4 weeks and beyond because, oh, Christian McCaffrey isn't coming back when they thought he would, and now they're down Jordan. They're going to run into a much bigger problem.
We're going to learn a lot about the 49ers on Sunday, just as far as how Shanahan adjusts with all these injuries and all that. Brock mm-hmm. Purdy. Like you're talking about the running backs. It's gonna be interesting to see. At this point, you can't just give it to Mason because, like I said, we're talking through it now. All the guys that are missing, but I wouldn't put past Shanahan just to stick with what I've got and like this is it. We're just kind of moving forward.
To your point, that's exactly what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
What should happen is one of their two backup running backs need to get some carries. Design a toss. Do something that makes it really easy for him. That's what they should do. I think you're right in what they will do.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if Isaac Garendo or Patrick Taylor gets more than 2 touches.
Do we go, okay, I was going to say over or under 5 carries for the backup running backs?
Under.
Under?
Way under.
That's tough.
I know. That's something I think needs to change.
We got Larry Johnson too. Most carries all time in a season.
Oh, that's right.
416, Jamal Anderson second.
Jamal Anderson. Yeah. A dirty bird. Matt Barrows of The Athletic suggested a couple of trades between the 49ers and Dolphins.
Okay, let's hear them.
One of them was, they both involved the 49ers backup quarterbacks. So one of Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen for Raheem Mostert, or one of those two players for Jeff Wilson.
I can do Dobbs for Jeff Wilson. I can't, and at this point, like, it's not happening or whatever, but I can't do Mostert. I'll give you Jeff Wilson, though.
Okay. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Shout out Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, somebody they trust. That's why, like, dude, Matt Breida's a free agent. Go get Matt Breida.
Isn't he on the practice squad right now?
Did they re-sign him?
I'm pretty sure he's on the practice squad. 49ers, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a thing that happened? Did I miss that? I
think so.
I might have missed that. I thought Keyshawn Vaughn was their only practice squad guy. Running back.
49ers announced. Oh, they released Breida. Excuse me. Released him.
Tough for our guy Matt. He's a free agent, though. Go get him. Okay, maybe he doesn't have the juice yet. You trust him.
Yeah.
You know he knows the offense. Go
well, we're just talking about giving a guy some more, a few carries at this point. Just lightening Jordan Mason's load at this point.
That's it. Pause.
Yeah, I did not get around that. It's flag, whatever. What do you want to do? I didn't know what to do.
Jerick McKinnon's a free agent.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon can do some of the stuff Christian McCaffrey can do, right?
Yes.
Right?
We just need you to 6 carries. That's it.
I need 5 to 8 touches.
Jordan Mason needs a water break. We just need you to be out here while he gets water.
That's it.
That's all it is.
That's all we need. Anyways, I expect the 49ers to, unless one of Isaac Arendo or Patrick Taylor gets a bunch of touches this week and they feel really good about those players moving forward, I expect them to make some kind of move at running back.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's all. You want to talk about week 3?
Yes.
All right, we got some. Tell the people what you hit me with
like
via
comparison
text
yesterday
or via text message.
All right, I don't even remember what I texted you. I gotta go.
You were talking about statement games in the NFL this week.
Oh yeah, is
and Ravens. How we're gonna learn a lot about a lot of teams.
What about Ravens Cowboys?
Ravens Cowboys is on the list here. I'm just gonna go game by game.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Giants at Browns. Any statements there?
Statement is, wow, this game really stinks, and I'm going
to
change the
channel. I can't wait to not watch that game.
Yeah, that's the statement I'll be making.
I am so excited to watch 0 seconds of Giants-Browns.
Hey, Daniel Jones really grew a beard, and everyone's like, hey, he might be good this year. Like, Daniel Jones, he's back.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Daniel
Jones.
They
did the same thing with Matt Eberflus in Chicago.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, he got a haircut. He grew a beard.
Hey, I don't know.
He
I
got
think
media
ready.
Training. Watch out. Like, yeah, but he still stinks. Anyways, Bears at Colts.
Colts look... Colts low-key got to make a statement and win here, because if not, your season's over.
I have no feelings about this game.
I have a feeling.
You think the Colts got to win?
They got to win. Anthony Richardson is a young quarterback you're trying to develop and all that. I think you had some sort of expectations this year as far as maybe we can compete for a wild card or just kind of be in the mix, but if you're 0-3, you're cashed.
I need to see Caleb Williams do something. The Bears got to help him out.
Okay, yeah.
I need like him to not be pressured on 50% of his dropbacks.
The Bears got to help Caleb more than Caleb needs to help himself at this point.
1,000%. I'm right there with you. Texans at Vikings is a morning game.
This is a statement game in the fact I will give the Vikings and Sam Darnold their respect if they win this one.
That's it. I'm right there.
If you guys win this one, you're legit. I can't say anything after that.
I think the Texans are good. I don't need to learn anything more about the Texans.
They're
the second-ish
best team to me in the AFC.
Yeah, they're a Super Bowl contender in the AFC for sure. I'm with you on the Vikings, man. Like this is a great spot.
I believe
they're at home against another really good team in the other conference. Uh-huh. They just beat the heck out of the 49ers. If you go do that again to Houston, you're legit.
Even if they kind of are in the mix in this game, just competitive. Like just if they look like a good football team here, like I'll respect that.
I'll do one better on that. Vikings win this game, they're winning the division.
Kyle, you might have said something right there. You might have said something right there.
You heard it here first. Texans-Vikings, that's the game I'm locked into Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'm waking up to make sure that my stuff is done in the morning so I can sit down and watch that game.
That's a good one.
Eagles at
Texans,
Saints.
Texans-Vikings on ESPN 1320, by the way, I believe, right?
That's...
I'm almost positive it is. You can quote me on that.
Okay. Texans-Vikings, coverage begins at 9.
Yeah, I'll go on the ledge on that one. That's on 1320.
Okay. I don't have this week's looky. I have last week's. 9 o'clock, 9 a.m.
Yes.
Texans Vikings.
Be here.
Can't wait. So I'm going to be listening to that on ESPN 1320
yes.
while I don't watch Giants Browns. Eagles at Saints.
Statement. This is definitely a statement game.
This statement for the Eagles.
Yes. Hey, Nick Sirianni might get fired by their bye. I think they got two more games at them coming up till their bye. It's the Saints and the
Saints.
Bucks,
the Saints are going to hang 35 plus on these dudes.
Yeah.
I do not trust Philly's defense as far as I can throw them.
I don't know.
Which isn't far.
And I don't know how much I trust Jalen Hurts at this point. I tried to be a Jalen Hurts guy. I was trying to be like, no, he'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. He's looked good, but he's also just kind of, I don't know. He's not. He's less of the potential MVP that one year and more of a, he's closer to like just around top 10, less than the top five, I think.
Yeah, I think his MVP candidate days are probably behind him.
Uh-huh. And the him and Sirianni just don't feel like a good mix.
No. There was a whole article in ESPN about that. I'm right there with you. They have not done a good job replacing Shane Steichen. Their offensive coordinator the year they went to the Super Bowl. He's now the head coach for the Colts.
Uh-huh.
The Saints, whatever happens in this game.
How much are you buying Derek Carr? Derek Carr is very good, but
buying,
also...
Buying him how?
Like, just as far as, like, he can sustain this. I'm not talking about he's going to tear it up 300 yards, four touchdowns, or any of that stuff. Just more so...
Yeah, I think...
We see Derek
offense,
Carr just fluctuate. Just, oh, he's really good, or just, Derek, what the hell was that?
No, I think he's in the best offense he's probably ever been in.
Okay.
So I feel okay about it. Yeah, we're going to learn more about the Eagles and the Saints this week,
yeah.
I think. Chargers at Steelers?
This one's weird because it's like...
This feels like it should be a snow game.
Yeah. I can see that.
I think it's going to be very old school football.
It's going to be first one to 17 wins?
I'll go first one to 20.
20?
Yeah, Chargers at Steelers. That'll be a fun game for
the Chargers good if they win this
fans.
One?
You
beat the Raiders in a game where the Raiders just...
Raiders laid an egg. They beat the heck out of the Panthers.
You don't get credit for
that. Yeah, if you go to Pittsburgh, if they control this game, I don't want to say dominate, but if they control the whole game, then yeah.
Okay.
I'll be all the way. I'm mostly in on the Chargers now, just because I think Jim Harbaugh's a heck of a coach. But yeah, if they go in and control this game against the Steelers, because Mike Tomlin also a heck of a coach, I'll be all the way in on the Chargers. Broncos at Bucks.
I have yep.
Two thumbs down for me.
Why is this on my television? Who changed the channel?
Two thumbs down. The Bucks are good. I don't think the Broncos are.
Oh, next.
If the Bucks go beat the Broncos by like 30, I'll be even more in on them.
Super Bowl contender Bucks?
Maybe. We're not going to learn that this week, but if they go really handle business against the Broncos, I'll feel very, very good about the Bucks.
I think they've graduated from being a good team in the NFC South to being a good team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right. Baker's good, dude. I'm in on Baker Mayfield.
I think I'm in on Baker Mayfield, too.
Yeah, I definitely am. Mike Evans is awesome. Chris Godwin's back. Yeah, Bucks are good.
Shout out to the Bucks. Shout out Zabo.
I think they're going to beat the hell out of the Broncos, by the way.
Shout out Zabo, and I think Witty Cube in the chat is a Bucks fan as well.
Shout out to the Bucks fans.
Might be Wizzle Mac.
Salute. Last morning game, and then we'll get to Mad Props in the next segment, and we'll finish up with the afternoon games before we get to the handoff. Packers at Titans. Malik Willis revenge game.
Yeah.
I think sure. The Titans, here's where I'm at. I think the Titans stink.
Yes. Will Levis stinks. Will Levis is the worst quarterback in the league.
But also, I don't think Malik Willis is very good. So any wins the Packers get while Jordan Love is out is gravy. I'm going to learn nothing from this game. This is another one I'm excited to not watch.
You know what I'm going to learn is that...
Shout out to Matt LaFleur, by the way. When we were talking top five coaches yesterday, Matt LaFleur is there too for me.
I've got like eight coaches in the top five. You need to reel it in, pal.
Give me Andy Reid.
Okay, there's one.
Kevin O'Connell's got to be there because that's what the whole bit is about.
I'm so tired of that.
Kevin O'Connell's there. Matt LaFleur's there. Those are the two guys I got to put there. I think you got to put Kyle Shanahan there. Is McVay?
Yes.
McVay five?
That's five right there. So you just hate John Harbaugh, huh? Mike Tomlin too?
Can Mike Tomlin win a playoff game?
Get him a quarterback.
That's on him. At some point.
Is it him or his GM?
At some point, if you run into the same problem over and over and over again.
Hey, we've really been like, hey, Mike Tomlin went 8-8 with Duck Hodges. Like, hey, that's pretty sweet. But yeah, in reality, they haven't won a damn thing in a while.
That's it. Mike Tomlin's a nice guy. If you're going to be top five, I need you making the playoffs and making runs.
Last time Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl, plasma screen TVs cost over $1,000.
Now we can get a 50-inch TV for $9.
$20 at Costco or something.
Yeah, get that on Afterpay.
I don't like how we just told the truth about Mike Tomlin.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
we just let people know.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike Tomlin's awesome.
He is. He's a great coach.
At some point, you got to start winning playoff games for me.
I agree with that.
That's it. All right. That's Jesse Tapia. He's in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm will be back on Monday. Jiffy Lube is still the sponsor. We're still the insiders. The producers, though. Forgot. That's what we call this spinoff of the insiders. Either way, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. The handoff, I believe it's a KC day coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to mad props before we dive into the afternoon games from week three. Can't wait. We'll talk Niners-Rams with Kenny coming up here in a bit. If you're unfamiliar with mad props, what we do is we take two games that are happening. Typically, it'll be a Niners game and a Kings game. But with no basketball right now, we're doing Niners game and Raider game. So I make up a couple of props from each game, and we pick which number will be higher. That's how this goes. I have sent James this week's props, and he has made his picks. Jesse, we're going to have you as an honorary guest picker as well.
I'm excited. What do I get if I get all these right?
Props.
All right, I'll take it.
Our undying respect.
That's what I'm talking about.
You can come
right
back
there
next Friday if you want to come in for this segment. I mean, you're here already. You can just come in and do picks with us.
Sounds good.
If you want.
I want an acknowledgement.
You can do that either way, honestly. You can get them all wrong. Still come back next week.
Yeah, I want an acknowledgement either way. Like, hey, Jess got them all right. Or, hey, Jess, you were the worst of all time doing
this.
Yeah,
you're good. Just a little applause.
There we go.
Aaron's.
I'm a winner.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. First mad prop this week. Oh, hang on. We have an intro for this. Right?
Allegedly.
It's time for mad props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's mad props.
Can't wait till Joe's here to push those buttons for me.
Shout out, Joe.
It's going to be great. Love Joe. He did a terrific job yesterday. Not in with us today, but hopefully soon. All right. Mad props. 49ers game in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium against the Rams. Raiders at Allegiant Stadium hosting the Carolina Panthers. Our first mad prop. Jawan Jennings receiving yards or Raiders rushing yards, Jesse?
Jawan Jennings receiving yards. I think he's going to have a big day. Frost made a good point. Who else is Brock Purdy going to throw to in this one?
No, that's true.
And I think Jawan Jennings is good enough as a receiver to get open and like kind of just play the role that they need him to in this one.
So I was kind of thinking of leaning toward Raiders rushing yards here because I think I was like, man, they're going to beat the heck out of the Panthers. They're going to have to really run it late in the game and just kind of salt the clock. So I think they're going to rack up a bunch of rushing yards. But then Faraz brought up the thing about Andy Dalton and how much he lit it up with the Panthers in his one game last year. And now I'm a little bit more concerned about it. But I still think the Raiders are going to win this one. I think there's going to be a lot of running late in the game. And I think we talked with Vic Tafer from The Athletic yesterday. He doesn't think it's a talent problem. He thinks it's a scheme thing where players are still getting used to it. We're into week three. We talked about, hey, the regular season start now. I'm leaning Raiders rushing yards.
I'm going to stick with Jawan Jennings, too, for the sake of... I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy are on the same page at this point.
That's a good point. James's pick was Jawan Jennings as well. The next one, Jesse. Fred Warner tackles or Brock Bauer targets? James went Fred Warner.
Let me go Brock Bauer's targets. I'm going to go 10 targets for Brock Bauer's. You got to force feed your playmakers. I think the Raiders are going to do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Brock Bowers as well. I'm riding with you on this. I think the Niners defensive line is going to have a huge day. Uh-huh. And I don't think Fred Warner is going to have to do as much as he's been doing. I think this Niners defense is one where they're going to look at last game and go, hey, this defense is more than just Fred Warner. Because if Fred Warner hadn't played like he did, the Niners lose that game by a bunch of touchdowns. And I think you're going to see some other players step up who are not Fred Warner. So I'm going with Brock Bowers' targets, partially because I think you're going to see Gardner Minshew start to lean on him even more as the rookie gets more comfortable in the offense. All right, next up, 49ers-Rams total points or Jakobi Meyers receiving yards?
This one's difficult. I'm going to go...
They're supposed to be difficult.
Yeah, nah. I'm going to go I'm going to go Jacoby Myers receiving yards.
Yeah, that's
I don't think the Rams are putting up points in this one.
That's where, that's kind of where I landed, too. I think it might be a little bit of a rock fight in SoFi Stadium, mm-hmm. where it's hey, there's a turnover here, there's a botched fourth down there, it's 3-0 after the first quarter. I don't think we're going to see a ton of points.
I can see the Niners win this one like 24-10, Jacoby Myers having like 55 receiving yards or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that's, yeah, a, and that's the thing, is even if it's 24-20, you need 45 receiving yards yeah. from Jacoby Myers. I think we
the Rams are putting up near 30. We have a problem.
Eric Saubert is likely to be the... James, by the way, went 49ers Rams total points. Eric Saubert is expected to be the 49ers starting tight end. He had 2 catches for 26 yards last week. Eric Saubert catches or Max Crosby sacks?
Max Crosby sacks.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders defense as a whole is going to have a big day. I think we could see Max having 2-3 sacks in this one.
Yeah, I think he has a couple of sacks. I think Eric Saubert has 3 or more catches. That's what James is riding with you. He's going Max Crosby sacks. I just think that Brock Purdy is going to really focus on getting the ball out, and I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a lot of like Eric Saubert just sitting in the middle of the field and getting 3 or 4 catches that way.
I can see it. I'm going to stick with Max Crosby having a big day, though.
I hope so. You can't change it once you made your pick.
I won't.
I hope not. All right, next up, Brock Purdy pass attempts or Raiders total points?
Brock Purdy pass attempts.
Why?
Because I can see Brock throwing 25 pass attempts or whatever, and the Raiders winning this game with 23, 24 points. I don't think they're going to score 30 or anything like that. I think Jordan Mason's going to get the ball a whole bunch, but I'm going to say Brock Purdy, 25 passing attempts will be enough.
I'm going to go Raiders points. I think the Raiders are going to score a lot against a not very good Carolina team. And if Carolina's going to rack up some points too, I think the Raiders are going to need to score. And I think the Niners are going to try and keep the ball not out of Brock Purdy's hands. But I think they're going to really try and establish things on the ground, and just with how banged up their pass catchers are, I don't expect them to go try and air it out 30 times, especially in a close, low-scoring game.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Raiders points there. What did James go with? James went Brock Purdy pass attempts. Last one here. Jake Moody made field goals or Raiders touchdowns allowed?
Jake Moody made field goals.
You don't think the Raiders are going to give up a bunch of touchdowns to...
Nah, I say if the Raiders give up touchdowns, it'll be 2 at most in this one, I think. I can see Jake Moody kicking 3 field goals because the Niners aren't able to close out drives.
That's what I think. That's it. I think you're going to see a lot of Jake Moody field goals because I think the red zone is where you're going to see the Niners struggle the most.
Yeah. I could see that happening.
That might be one that we hit bang on the number. That might be like a 2-2 or a 3-3 one.
Sounds good.
I've hit 2 exactly on the number... in the first 2 weeks.
I'm very excited to come in on Monday and be like, oh yeah, Jess, you got them all right. Wow. Maybe we do like a little parade around the Odyssey building or something.
You think we should do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we get Stacy out there for that?
Yeah, we'll let him know. We'll let her know.
We want the boss out here.
That's mad props. Thanks everybody for playing along. Keep track of your picks and we'll go back over them on Monday. Should be a lot of fun. All right. We were talking about statement games in the NFL week 3. We'll get to Niners Rams last. We're going to save that for when Kenny's here in the next few minutes. Let's go Panthers Raiders. That's our first afternoon game. We did the morning games a little bit earlier. Panthers Raiders.
We've talked enough about it. It's the statement for the Raiders right here.
That's it.
It's kind of just prove yourselves to us.
I don't care that it's Andy Dalton. Maybe they score a couple of touchdowns this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, but the Raiders should still dominate this game.
Yeah.
The Panthers are super not good. And if this is close or if they lose, then I think you're looking at a year where...
It's just I'm not going to think very highly of the Raiders if they lose this one just because it's like, all right, remember against Carolina, like they're just going to have the letdowns at this point. Like,
yeah,
we can just wait for them now.
And you don't feel good now about the win over Baltimore. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe that was a flash in the pan. Whereas if you carry over and you dominate this game...
Well, if you lose to the Panthers and say the Cowboys beat the Ravens, then the Baltimore game just looks like, oh, you just beat a bad Baltimore team at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Dolphins at your Miami Dolphins.
This one's a little scary,
Kyle. Seahawks.
I don't know. I'm a little torn right here. I don't know if I'm a dummy because I think they have a chance or whatnot, but I think this is a statement.
What makes you think they have a chance?
You still have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, Jalen Ramsey. You have playmakers everywhere else. Just you're missing your quarterback at this point. I'd pick the Seahawks to win this one, but I think it's a statement for the Seahawks in the sense where it's like, all right, now this team, like you're playing a team a little bit better than what you've seen so far. And you kind of, like, you need to handle business again.
I think this is a Seattle statement game.
You think so?
Yeah. because of what you just said, the Dolphins are not, without Tua, the Dolphins are not inept.
Uh-huh.
They still have a ton of talent. And, yeah, and maybe Skylar Thompson is not a great quarterback, and maybe because of that, their offense isn't as dangerous. But
you still got to play football for Seattle. You still got to keep Tyreek Hill in front of you. You still got to make sure Jalen Waddle doesn't get loose or whatever.
Skylar Thompson almost won a road playoff game against Josh Allen and the Bills.
I'll never forget that playoff game. I always turn it off. Miami scores. Zach Sealer scores a defensive touchdown with about 10 minutes left in the second half, and I turn it off after that.
Smart.
Yeah. Like, oh, nice.
Good vibes.
Yeah, that was nice.
Don't know how it ends.
Yeah,
tough.
No clue.
Yeah, so I think this is a game where if the Seahawks go out and they play really well and they win this game, then I will buy more into the Seahawks than I am right now, where they beat the Broncos and then they beat the Patriots in OT.
Because if you're Miami too and you win this one or whatever, it's kind of like, all right, you still need to get through the next 3 weeks still or whatever. Like, yeah, you haven't done anything. For but Seattle, it means a lot more.
But if you're Miami, you can split. Let's say Tua is going to miss four games.
Uh-huh.
If you can split those four games, you're thrilled, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I told you could have 2-2 right now, would you take it?
Yes, 1,000%. Right now, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know if they get the season's here at this point. I think they're kind of lost, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because if they're going 1-3 or 0-4, then yeah, it's probably over. But if you can split, you're giving yourself a chance. I think the Dolphins definitely have a chance to win here. But if the Seahawks can at home really take care of business against that team, even with Skylar Thompson under center,
yeah,
I'll have to buy in at least a little bit. Right now, I'm not there yet. Lions at Cardinals. This behind Texans Vikings is my favorite game of
this. This is a statement game for both of them.
Really?
The Lions, I'm not going to overreact too much to them, but you're still, like, we're expecting to be really good in the NFC. Like, you got to, you at this point, you would have lost to the Bucs and then maybe the Cardinals or whatever. Like, that's going to, I think I'm going to look at them a little bit funny.
I think the Lions.
Maybe Jared Goff at this point.
Yeah, I got to see how Jared Goff plays. I'm in on the Lions for the most part. I think this is a bigger deal for the Cardinals.
I think if the Cardinals win this one, it's kind of like, all right, they're legit. Like, this is a good football
team. Yeah, they hung with the Bills in Buffalo. They beat the hell out of a beat-up Rams team. Mm-hmm. If they go beat the Lions at home...
It'll say more about the Cardinals, but I think, like I said, coming out of it, if the Lions do lose, I'm assuming it's probably because of Jared Goff not playing well, so we'll kind of have an eye on them after that.
Yeah, watching that game really, really close. We're going to learn a lot about the NFC in that game. I'm right there with you. You talked about this game a few minutes ago. Ravens at Cowboys.
Is this loser leaves town?
Loser leaves town, I think.
I think so, too.
Because whoever loses this game, it's going to be all the big questions.
I want to believe in the Ravens, but can you really justify a team starting like 0-3 and it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to just turn it around and play well and it'll be good to go?
No. Whoever
it just doesn't work that way usually.
No, not usually.
Yeah.
The Ravens are not the same team as they were last year. The Cowboys aren't the same team as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're losing this game, if you're the Cowboys and you're losing another game at home,
yeah.
Or if you're the Ravens and you're dropping to 0-3, yikes, man.
Yeah, we got loser leaves town, definitely.
Loser leaves town there, for sure. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Falcons.
Like, I don't know if it's statement game material.
Here's where I think it is for the Falcons. If the Falcons at home on Sunday Night Football on primetime can knock off the Chiefs, it's like, dang. And the Falcons might have a little something here.
Yeah, I guess.
If the Chiefs lose, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. The Chiefs
call
are
me
just,
in January.
Yeah, let me know what they're doing January 25th or whatever.
That's all I care about with them. So I'm there with you for the Chiefs. But for the Falcons, I think if you go win this game, I think that's an impressive win for the Falcons.
It will be, but it's like, I'm just so bought in on what the Bucs and the Saints are doing at this point. We're just kind of like, yeah, the Falcons are nice, but I just don't know if you'll be better than those two other
teams.
It'd
be so nuts if the AFC South got like three playoff teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
After all the talk in the preseason.
This is how we talk about them and all that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not a real division.
Kenny Caraway in the building. Niners-Rams. This is our final game we got to go over.
Mm.
We're talking statement games.
Mm.
I am of the mind that the 49ers need this game badly.
Absolutely.
You cannot, I don't care about the injury stuff. I don't care. The Rams are even more beat up than you are. Division game on the road. This to me is one the Niners got to have. Because if they're not getting this one, I can't feel good about any of them coming up.
They absolutely, I agree with you, have to get this game. Which leads me into like one of my, I don't know if pet peeve is the right word, but if they have to get this game, I don't care how many times they run Jordan Mason.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like if it's that important, which we're all in agreement, which is like goes back to like when Trey Lance got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, you started 0-1. You cannot start 0-2. Well, if Kyle Shanahan believes Trey Lance needs to pass the ball 25 times and run the ball another 15, and that is going to get us the win because we have to win the game,
mm-hmm.
then that's what we do. Yep. We're not worried about, well, you can't run them up the middle. And you can't. No, we have to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say, I agree with you. Like, in theory, and I don't understand football enough to be like, well, why can't Isaac Arendo carry the ball three times? Like,
yeah.
What's the problem? Like, I don't mm-hmm. I don't see the problem with him carrying it three times. But if Kyle Shanahan is like, we ain't messing around, we have to win, Jordan Mason, you're getting every single carry.
Sure.
Then that's what we got to do.
Sure.
I mean, at this point, you don't really have a choice, no?
That's
kind of stick with the guys that are here.
That was sort of my thing. Mm. I don't think they have another running back right now that they feel good about giving carries to, even if they wanted to.
Mm.
And that's kind of the issue. Is it's more of a longer term thing than just this Sunday.
Right.
It's like at some point you got to figure out who's going to get touches behind Jordan Mason, because I don't think this is sustainable for however long Christian McCaffrey's out.
Right. Yeah.
That's
but,
the problem.
But in general, like you said, I don't understand what it would hurt if Isaac Arendo ran a halfback stretch to the.
Can we get him
two times?
Like, four or five times? Like, just anything.
What's the problem? I don't get it. Although he, and this shouldn't sway you anyway, but didn't he run one time on Sunday and just. It was like minus one.
Yeah, yeah. He ran into the line. He didn't. Kyle Shanahan talked about it a little bit because a bunch of people were immediately like, hey, he's got to be patient here. He's got to do this and that and da 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 da. And Kyle Shanahan kind of broke down all the different things that went wrong on that play.
Yeah.
So I do think at some point we start seeing Isaac Arendo. Because remember, he didn't get like any training camp.
Right.
He played in the preseason finale, and that was his first week of practice leading up to that game. And that was his first game.
Right.
So I think they're kind of treating this, getting him ramped up. I think at some point here we see him getting some carries.
I wouldn't mind seeing some Jacob Cowing, some reverse action or anything like that, like just for a different look or something mm-hmm. like that. But they got to win. Like we talk about statements and all this other stuff. This isn't gonna say anything for me one way or another about the 49ers. I just know they just have to win. Like, I don't care how it
That's
looks.
It.
I don't Can care you, what Brock yep. looks like. I don't care what the defense looks like, the O-line. If they come out of this winning 13-10, we'll figure it out
sure.
the following week. This game is that.
You think they can win this game if Brock Purdy and Ayuk still aren't on the same page in this one?
No.
Like, does that have to get figured out this week? Or is there other ways you can go about it?
No,
if
because
Ayuk's
the Rams,
four catches for 40 yards, the Niners got a problem.
Yeah, but the Rams are – I can see a world. I don't know if it happens that way. But I can see a world where the Rams just don't have the firepower to make them pay. For
yeah,
not
that
being
could,
on the same page.
That could happen for sure. That's why the Niners pass rush is a way bigger deal to me than anything in this game. Mm-hmm. If you can't get to Matthew Stafford against this version of the Rams, where it's not elite receivers getting open all over the field and it's not the best version of their offensive line, and you have Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins going up against a rookie center and a third string left guard, like, you got problems, man. Mm-hmm. If you're not creating pressure this week, I have major questions.
So here's another thing about that. This is what I think about when people say that. It's I think this is how Sean McVay is going to play it. That something like that is a team wide issue, right? Like mm-hmm. and even down to the defensive coordinator. Because I think about it like this: if I'm Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, I know the offensive line is what it is. We going to have, like, these little five-yard digs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting the ball out. Like, as good as the defensive line is, they can't get to him.
You're just scheming them out.
Yeah, they can't get to him in 0.3 seconds. Like, the ball's already out. Mm-hmm. So this is why I say it's team-wide. Defensive coordinator, press coverage. Corners, you lock up. So when he tries to go to that little five-yard dig, it's not there. Now you're giving the defensive line an opportunity to get there. But you can – because I feel like Aaron Rodgers did that a little bit in week one. Like, he knew he couldn't move. Mm-hmm. He knew there wasn't a lot going on, so he – let me just get it out real quick, and that affects sacks numbers and pressure numbers, I think. I don't know.
That's exactly
a little bit more of an untrained eye, I guess, maybe. But
it's exactly what happened in week two against the Rams last year.
Yeah.
Like, almost exactly. Puka
Steve
Nacua,
Wilkes had him 10 yards off the line of scrimmage.
And Puka Nacua had a huge game, but they turned the faucet off in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think you're going to see again.
I agree.
This week.
I agree. It needs to happen, at least. I mean, the whole offensive line is second stringers, right?
No, they got their starting tackles, but one of them's coming off his suspension. One of them's playing hurt. Their starting right guard is playing, but he's playing hurt. It's like a rookie sixth-round pick at center.
Jimmy G's ready to go.
Jimmy G back from suspension.
Yeah, from suspension.
I forgot he got suspended.
Yeah, he's out there shooting the roids and all that.
I don't want Matthew Stafford or anybody to get hurt, but that would be unbelievable cinema if Jimmy G came into that game.
If Jimmy G comes in and lights it up, I'm going to call him Travis Matthew Stafford. That's
Jimmy
a good
G,
joke.
Jimmy G,
I'm going to give myself
I can safely say Jimmy G not coming in and lighting it up. Even if he comes in, he might not be terrible, but he ain't like
that. Would be the is that that's the worst spot we have like 30 seconds here. That's the worst possible outcome, right? Yeah. Matthew Stafford gets hurt. Jimmy comes in and lights it up.
Yeah, and the Rams win. Yeah.
Oh god, that'd be terrible.
Say Jimmy G lights it up.
Happens,
it's way better
if that happens, I'm not
too.
Coming in Monday. If that happens, I'm not coming in on Monday.
Oh man.
Oh, what do you guys got coming up?
49er Friday, baby. 49er Friday, plus you know, some random college stuff. Cash Caraway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, work?
Oh, yeah.
You got me at 12:15.
Yeah,
I'll be in there. I'll be in
Eddie Gonzalez pulling up too as well.
Oh, I love Eddie's the man. Big Eddie Gonzalez guy. All right. Jesse, thank you so much. Great job the last couple of days. James will be back Monday. We will be back Monday on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader, D'Lo and KC next. Until Monday at 10, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.